Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The Minister of State with responsibility for road transport, James Lawless, today launched a new online change of vehicle ownership service, and it allows private vehicle owners to transfer registration to another private owner entirely now online. And Minister James Lawless, I want to ask you about that in just a moment, but I have to ask you about some of the revelations from the Oireachtas committee committees today. You're very welcome to the programme. Can I talk to you first of all, before we move on to the change of service online? Let's talk about the Children's Hospital and what we've been hearing from the board, because the Chief Officer of the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board, David Gunning, said the builder BAM is currently of the view that the project will be completed by June next year, which is 31 months later than what was last agreed. But even that completion date was called into question at the committee today. What is a realistic completion date? Does anyone know in government?
Good afternoon, Cormac. So look, I wasn't at the health committee. You'll understand I was busy in my own department this morning, but I was following developments. I think it's hard to take seriously any date at this stage from a contractor that has deferred the project 14 times in the last 4 years, as we've seen at BAM. I suppose it's difficult to take a new date from them with the seriousness or confidence that it deserves. So, look, I would certainly have concerns around that. But, look, it's unacceptable.
It's not escalations. All they're doing either, is it, in fairness? That was well ventilated at the committee. There were numerous 23,000 design changes and the contract was called into question as well.
Yeah, well, any complex project involves change requests, involves project management. It's not unusual to have change requests in any project. A multi-billion euro project, I'd be shocked if there wasn't a change management system. Well, I suppose, look, we have to look at project management around the world. I worked on IT projects. It was normal to have thousands of change requests. But I suppose what's more important is there should be a system for managing those. Mm. There should be a cost associated with each one. There should be a benefits analysis. There should be, you know, are these in the critical path or not? So I don't know who the project management team are here, but it seems they're lacking.
It should be clear in the contract.
Usually, one would think so. Yeah, one would think so. There would normally be change management and defect management, and they should be critical parts of any contract.
So who signed off the contract?
Well, not me. I don't know, but I'm
was it?
I've no idea, to be frank about it. But look, I suppose I find the whole thing, and I think the public find the whole thing, extremely jarring. I know government are extremely frustrated. This is going on now for almost a decade.
Yeah, you don't know the final cost, and you don't know when it's going to be delivered, I suppose, is the crux of it. Can I ask you about something, which is, I'm not complaining about you in particular, but that was a general theme from the committee today. Can I ask you about another revelation today? It emerged when a committee, an Oireachtas committee, was discussing the bike shelter and associated cost of €336,000, and that has caused controversy. But during those questions and answers, it emerged that the security shelter at the entrance at the Department of Finance cost €1.4 million. What is your response?
It's shock. I was trying to visualise. I found out about that about 2 minutes before it came on air. And I can't visualise, as someone who's worked in this premises for the last 8 years, I actually can't visualise that shelter. So they're doing a good job of hiding it.
Well, it is beautiful, in fairness. Architecturally, it's got a beautiful swirl.
I haven't seen the pictures.
But €1.4 million, oh my goodness.
No, look at that. That's all joking aside. That's absolutely horrendous. I don't know how that was arrived at. I did hear that the OPW chair was in the committee this morning and I suppose gave something of an apology over the bike shelter and suggested that they had to reflect. I think what he was saying is, I'm only hearing this secondhand from reports, I understand what he said was that sometimes when they're in the middle of a project and they're pricing different components, they fail to see the bigger picture in terms of the entirety being unacceptable.
Well, I think I can give you word for word what was said. The security hut followed an extensive consultation with Gordy and included significant mechanical, electrical and security considerations. And he also said, Mr. Conlon said, there were also significant underground ventilation, CCTV and other costs. And there's a huge security element, he says. But does €1.4 million, does it seem overpriced to you?
Well, I'm not Yes, it does, of course, but I'm not an expert in specifying security huts and systems. I will observe that in recent months, a truck drove into the gates of government buildings. I think a truck also drove into Aros and Uachtaráin. There was an incident not so long ago when an intruder gained access to Leinster House. Actually, I think on a weekend day, I was able to freely roam the halls, which is of great concern. Security is becoming an increasing issue. It is the heart of government, so there should be security.
Okay,
but
so
I would say that price tag does appear to be, to my uneducated mind, extremely high.
Okay.
But I don't design those systems, so I'd have to get someone that does to make probably more
interrogate that a little bit more after five. Can I ask you about what you're launching today, the online change of vehicle ownership service? What will this do?
Yeah, so look, one thing since I arrived into my ministry in June, I tried to drive the digital agenda, which is something I've been passionate about all my time in the Oireachtas. And what this will do is this will bring a kind of digital dashboard further along. So amongst other things, I'm also trying to, I suppose, get rid of the paper discs that we have on our dashboards for tax, for insurance, for NCT, and replace those with a digital footprint. But the transfer of vehicle ownership, what this initiative I'm launching today, what it does is, at the moment, if somebody's selling a car or buying a car, you go into your garage, or if it's a private sale, you engage with the seller. You have a bit of paper. People, I'm sure, know it. Sometimes we call it the logbook or the vehicle ownership book. The seller completes an entry in it. They hand it to the buyer. The buyer fills something in. It gets posted off down to the motor tax office in Shannon, or you can go into your local county council office for the motor tax section. It's quite cumbersome. It's entirely paper-based. It can take several weeks, if not months. Also, it might get lost. If you go to buy or sell the vehicle and you can't find it, you have to go and get a new one. It's all very, I suppose, antiquated. It's not particularly efficient.
So this will simplify this?
Yeah. So what you do now is you go online, you can go to motortax.ie, and many people probably use that already to buy their tax, actually. I know I do it myself. And you put in your details. It runs a quick check on the system that you are the registered owner of the vehicle. It generates a PIN number. It goes to your email address, same way as if you're using buying a motor tax online. Mm-hmm. You give that PIN number to the buyer, and they tap it in on their phone or their computer, and hey presto, they're the owner.
Okay,
so it's really
faster,
simplifying.
Simpler, more efficient.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Hooray, I'd say an awful lot of people. Can I ask you something about another subject that you're completely focused on in your brief? And I know from talking to you on this programme before about it. It's the passenger cap at Dublin Airport, which has caused so much discussion. The Minister for Tourism, Catherine Martin, said today that there's no legal mechanism outside of the planning process to enable the passenger cap at Dublin Airport to be lifted. It's not for politicians to interfere with the process, she says. Is she right?
So I am engaging with stakeholders at the moment. I've met with the airlines, Ryanair, Aer Lingus. I met with the travel agents just this morning. I met with DEA, I met with the IAA, and a variety of stakeholders. And I'm, I suppose, trying to do two things. I'm trying to get a deeper understanding of the situation that we're in terms of when the cap might expect it to be lifted, or when the planning process will come to a head. And secondly, how can we mitigate its effects in the meantime? And I've been very unequivocal about this. I believe the cap should be lifted. I want the cap lifted. I think Dublin Airport should grow to not just 36 million, but up to 40 million and beyond. It is the primary airport in and out of this island. Mm-hmm. We also want it to serve as a secondary hub for connections transatlantic, European, even Asian, even African, the wider global sphere. And it can absolutely do that.
Okay,
but
so
in the meantime,
the Minister has her view and you have your view with conviction, I would say. I mean, there were questions raised by Ryanair, I think, about restrictions around rugby matches and so on. It's interesting to note that you've written to Leinster Rugby because it's being reported that the team will fly from Belfast instead of Dublin Airport because of the passenger cap for some of its away fixtures. What did you say in your letter?
Yeah, so just to conclude the piece about Minister Martin, we're not necessarily at odds on this because we actually both share the same view that we need to grow connectivity on the island. Mm. But I'm not aware of an easy legal or planning solution. I suppose really the planning process has to do its work. But I'm trying to encourage all involved to, I suppose, hurry that up, but simply. But in terms of Leinster Rugby, so I met Leinster Rugby. I spoke to them over the weekend. They wrote to me looking for assistance and guidance. They wrote to other ministers as well. I picked up the phone to them. I also engaged with Dublin Airport afterwards.
What did you say to them?
Well, one option may be that they can use Platinum services. There is another.
What's that?
It's a VIP type service through Dublin Airport. Okay. If they want to explore that, it's an option that is not subject to the cap, I understand it. It's actually outside of that because the planning system constrains Terminals 1 and Terminal 2. The Platinum service is a somewhat separate terminal.
So you suggested to Leinster VIP service. What about the fans?
So I think we need to deal with the situation over the next 6 to 12 months, or possibly longer, while the cap is in place. And as I've clearly said, I think the cap should be lifted, but we have to figure out how to do that through the planning process.
Okay.
In the meantime, I think we may need to consider a protocol. So the national teams, you know, the likes of Leinster Rugby, the likes of the Irish Olympics team, people competing abroad, events of national importance are facilitated.
Okay.
But I will agree with the Minister, there is capacity in other airports. Shannon and Cork have 5 million seats ready to go. There's other airports ready to serve as well. So we have no capacity.
Okay.
We have no cap in Ireland. We do have a cap temporarily in Dublin.
Minister James Lawless.